This is the Cancer Action New York News Conference. My name is Donald Hussig. I am the director and founder of Cancer Action New York. We have a co-founder on the line, Lewis Shepherd, and we also have a St. Lawrence County government policymaker. Scott Sutherland is a county legislator in St. Lawrence County. Good morning. Good morning. How's it going?
Okay.
Good, Don.
The way this is going to play out is we've decided that we're going to go in alphabetical order, accepting that I am going to go last. So who's first, Sutherland or Shepherd? I guess Shepherd is first. Is that cool with you, Lou?
I guess that's okay with me.
And let me have it for just one more minute here. I will the subject that we will be discussing for the purpose of making progress on this subject, we're going to be discussing providing the public with information on the persistent organic pollutants exposure health hazard. And so you're up, Lou.
Okay. I've been a part of Cancer Action since about year 2000. And Don Hussig and I and others have been trying to educate people on the hazards of persistent organic pollutants. And these are in the air, they're in the water, they're in the atmosphere, and they're in the food supply. Mainly, they are in animal fats. They become accumulated in the animal fats because they are fat-soluble. So, what we need to do is to educate the people to stop eating so much animal fat, and if they are persistent in eating these kind of foods, then they need to change their way and eat only the grass-fed type of animal food, because that would minimize the amount of these persistent organic pollutants. It would not eliminate them, but it would minimize them. And in fact, that's what we can, that's our aim, really, is to minimize the exposure to these persistent organic pollutants. And I'd like to give just one example of this kind of a problem. It was many years ago, there were at Camp Lejeune, I believe, in the Marine Corps, they found a bunch of men, 70, I think, altogether, that developed breast cancer, and they traced it back to a contamination of the wells on that where they were located, and they traced it still further to a practice that they had of using a chlorinated solvent, probably 1,1-trichloroethylene, to clean up motor parts. And when they had got it really dirty, what they did with it was dump it on the ground. And that got into the water supply. And chlorinated solvents and chlorinated products like polyvinyl chloride are examples of this kind of problem. And then we had, but of course it was a good many years past from the time these people that were living on that Camp Lejeune, that they developed the breast cancer. And because of the big time lapse, they had a tough time proving to the government that that was what was causing this. And consequently, it took a lot of real persistent legislator, not legislator, but lawyering to get some help from the government to cover some of the costs of this problem. Another one of these persistent organic pollutants is the flame retardants that are in furniture, clothing, and bedding, and upholstery and cars and all that stuff. And those contain, they're brominated, and they become very persistent in our bodies. And an example of that, some time ago, the National Geographic launched a study and tested some of their employees to find out what the level of some of these persistent organic pollutants were. And one person that was working for them, their level of these this brominated flame retardant was so high they couldn't even test it. And it turned out that she had been doing a lot of flying, so she was getting exposed to this every time she got on an airplane. So it's not possible to eliminate these things from the atmosphere and from the soil and from the water. But we can take action if we know how to do it to minimize these in our bodies. Okay?
That's well said. That's well stated, and you've presented the listeners with a lot of basic facts about this, and I appreciate that. That's good work. Good work, Lou. Scott, would you like to jump in here now?
Sure. Sure. I've been a county legislator since January 2011. I'm not a member of Cancer Action. But I work within the system wherever I can to affect some change in this area. Well, the reason why I wanted to affect some change, I learned that as a legislator, I learned that St. Lawrence County is rated within the top 8 counties within all of New York State, 62 counties, for the poorest health. I think it was in the 2011 report, and I think it's about the same placement in the 2012 report by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. That, and I also learned that our county cancer rate for 3 different types of cancer exceed the New York State average, and the incident of all cancers combined is higher than the New York State average. And also because our county contains or has contained several Superfund sites, such as the large General Motors Central Foundry Division site near Sena, New York, I have attempted to bring forth additional cancer education to our county citizens in the form of persistent organic pollution exposure minimization education. To do this, the reason why I do it, it's because public health education is the most efficient and effective, probably the least expensive method to lessen the health risk and cancer risk and to protect our citizens. So at one point I devised a resolution and sent it to the county legislature. And what I wanted to do was have St. Lawrence County incorporate within their ongoing cancer prevention and education programs a comprehensive message to educate the citizens of St. Lawrence County concerning the health risks associated with ingesting these human carcinogens via consumption of animal fats within their diet. That was probably 2 years ago or a little bit more when I offered this resolution that was not approved at that time. But since that time, we've been trying to find different ways to still bring this education forward to the people. And that probably wraps up my opening statement right now.
Yep, that's a good history on how St. Lawrence County government has been involved in this. And I just want to say right off the start that I very much appreciate the work that you have done as a local policymaker, because it has stood as a good example to other policymakers, other county legislators, to town board people. And you truly have shown the most individual leadership. You know, of anybody that holds an elected office, anybody that's been given this power to make laws and bring change that way, you have been more of a leader on this particular matter of educating to minimize, to accomplish minimization of exposure to POPs. You've done more of that than anyone else up here, and that's it's very much to be appreciated. It's great work you're doing, and I really appreciate it. I want to give a little kind of update on what Cantrex New York has been doing to, as has been stated previously on this, to just take some steps. You know, maybe it wasn't the time, it didn't work to obtain the assistance of the county's public health department, the St. Lawrence County Public Health Department, to present this information to the public on the POPs. But there's still plenty of activities that can be undertaken and brought forward and moved on. I gradually come to feel that it was a large part of my responsibility in having this knowledge of the names of the chemicals and how people are exposed to them and some sense of how much disease risk is imposed. And just knowing this, that it was my responsibility to be just doing the education myself, you know, just getting out there and doing the education myself. I started out on the Agwizazne Reserve going door to door and spent quite a number of days going door to door at Agwizazne. And if I make any point in my presentation here, I just want to make the point of how much the people appreciate this, how much they are interested in obtaining information about chemicals that cause cancer, and just how clear it is that this is something the public is in 100% support of. There were so many people that I was out there that would take the time to tell me stories about their personal life and, you know, just describe their experiences with cancer. I remember one lady that was saying she was right on a Racket Point, which is near that GM Powertrain Superfund site that Mr. Sutherland mentioned, living right there on Racket Point. She said that every one of her brothers and sisters had died of cancer, and now she was, I understood it to be that she was the one that was left, you know, and she was concerned about this. I know other people that live there on Racket Point, and we've spoken about this. There are people that are suffering cancer right now that live there on the Racket Point and have, Mr. Shepard spoke about the fact that these chemicals are in the air. Well, the air of Racket Point in the summertime contains an especially large quantity of the PCBs, which are one of the groups of chemicals that are included in the POPs. This is because the PCBs evaporate from contaminated soils and sediments that are present on the GM site, and they enter the outdoor atmosphere, and then they move with the westerly winds. Agwizazne is downwind to the east, downwind from the GM site, and so they're breathing the PCBs there. It's a terrible situation, and so that was a focal point where I believed it was very necessary to do the door-to-door educational outreach. Since then, I've started going door-to-door in the village of Messina. This is another place where there's been this exposure, this excess respiratory exposure to the PCBs, because the village of Messina is just tightly adjacent, you know, right at the eastern edge of the village of Messina. There is a large Alcoa operation. It's been there since the late 1800s. They used PCBs extensively from the, I believe it was the 50s through the 70s. There's a lot of PCBs still present there. Certainly back in the day before the PCBs were placed in any kind of, you know, more contained situation, they're in a big landfill now. I don't know what kind of cap it has and whether it does, you know, control to any extent the PCBs from evaporating out of there. But back in the days, the many, many decades when the PCBs were laying out there in the swamps where they were just being dumped and laying out there on the ground in these various places where they've been dumped and where they've just been released accidentally and, you know, just used them a lot, very large quantities, these PCBs were evaporating in the warm weather of the summertime. And so the people in the village must have seen it for decades in the summertime, certainly. When the wind came from the east, they were breathing PCBs there. So I was going door to door there, and so many people just said there's so much cancer here, and so many people get cancer here, and people wonder why, and we want information about this. And this one lady, she actually asked me, she said, why are you doing this? And I said, it's because I know. It's because I have this knowledge. I went to SUNY Potsdam College and studied biology and chemistry, and I did well. I graduated summa cum laude. And then I started reading scientific research and getting interested in these persistent organic pollutants. And I came to fully grasp the scientific knowledge, this volume of information that caused me to conclude, as other scientists were concluding, that the POP exposure was causing a considerable amount of cancer and diabetes and heart disease and other health problems as well here in the U.S., throughout the world. It's totally a global matter. But then in particular, with these excess exposures to PCBs that had occurred up there at Aguazazni and in the village of Messina, which is so clear that these people needed to be warned about the fact that they continued to be exposed to the PCBs plus the flame retardants that Mr. Shepard mentioned, these brominated flame retardants, plus the dioxins, plus DDT and a breakdown product of DDT, DDE, plus Myrex and toxaphene and hexachlorobenzene and hexachlorocyclohexane. There's a large number of the persistent organic pollutants. They were used over an extensive period of time in heavy quantities throughout the world. And so just to let the people down that had been exposed because of the industrial use of the PCBs up there at Messina and at GM further east from Messina, to not warn them that they were continuing to be exposed to the PCBs plus these flame retardants that have been more recently made part of the environment and the economy, that was unthinkable. You know, I'm not going to just let kids eat PCBs and flame retardants when there's this cancer and diabetes and heart disease problem associated with that. When they'd already been exposed, their parents have been exposed and their grandparents have been exposed to these chemicals, and it's clearly a transgenerational matter. The scientific research on the animal studies has made it very clear that when parents, you know, males and females that are reproducing are exposed to dioxins in particular, and I'm quite certain also the PCBs, and it's very likely the flame retardants are the same way. They just haven't been studied as long because they haven't been in use as long. When there's exposure of the parents, then the offspring are born predisposed to develop cancer, diabetes, heart disease. These chemicals harm people through long periods of time, and to consider the fact that these kids up in Messina and Aguazazni are more likely to get cancer and diabetes just because of what happened to their parents, and then let them be exposed to these chemicals that in their own lifetime of consuming the animal fat and building up the body burden of the flame retardants and the PCBs, that would increase their cancer risk in that way with this, you know, in their own lifetime exposure and impact these chemicals. It was unthinkable not to warn them about that. So I just started, you know, providing the information myself, going door to door and presenting the information to them. And we've reached a point now where more people are getting involved. We actually have a group now that has met. We met back in May of this year in the village of Messina. And David Carpenter, he is Dr. David Carpenter. He's an MD. He is the director of the SUNY Albany Institute for Health and the Environment. He has agreed to be our scientific advisor. And we have another meeting set up. And this is what I'm really looking forward to. Our next meeting is in August this month. It's on the 31st of August. It starts at 2 p.m. and it's going to go to 4 p.m. Dr. Carpenter is going to join us by telephone, and we have some people from Aguazazni that are interested, people that live on the Racket Point, and people that, well, the ones that are coming now, they lived on the Racket Point. I don't know if a single person that actually lives on Racket Point has come to any of our meetings yet, and I'm really looking forward to when those people from Racket Point start coming to these meetings and hearing what Dr. Carpenter has to say and recognizing the need for changes that can be accomplished readily simply by people individually taking action and putting that all together. Once the people from Racket Point start coming to these meetings and realizing that the people of Aguazazni should be warned about these continuing exposures to the PCBs. On top of breathing them, when they continue to be exposed to PCBs from breathing the PCBs that come out from the contaminated sites in the summertime. But they can't really avoid that if they're going to live there. They can reduce their consumption of animal fat. And so it's this thing of the knowledge being there, the need to know this being there, and there's something readily that can be done. They can just choose not to eat as much animal fat, and boom, they are reducing their exposure and moving toward minimizing their exposure to these chemicals. So I'm just hoping that somehow by, you know, Mr. Sutherland and Mr. Shepard and I, and other people too, there's other people that are interested in this. The town boards of St. Lawrence County have been really good. The town boards and the supervisors of St. Lawrence County, many of the towns, have moved on this. They've placed information on the persistent organic pollutants exposure health hazard on their websites, on their town government websites. So there are steps being taken. We're hopeful that the steps will become bigger and faster, a faster pace to these steps. And, you know, I feel happy and that we're doing good work and that we will eventually, I believe that we will eventually create enough public awareness here in St. Lawrence County that the county government will decide that, you know, the people want this and it's clear that they need it and they'll jump in. And once St. Lawrence County government has started to do education, that will cause the New York State Department of Health to recognize the need to become involved, and then that will move the federal government. And it'll all, it's this thing of going right from the people, right at the grassroots, right through the various levels of government to get this done in the best way it can be done, considering, you know, the situation of the corporations running the show from the top down and keeping this information away from the public because they did it. And now the people down below suffering the diseases and getting interested and involved and building it up from the bottom up, we will address this and we will succeed and bring this knowledge forward, and people will be protected from these chemicals. So we're at the discussion, and kind of like any comments or any, is there any, you know, does anybody have anything they want to add now that we've, you know, all three of us, you know, just basically talked, you know, just said what we had to say at this moment in time about this particular matter? Any further comments or questions? Does anybody want to say anything more?
Yes, I'd like to say a little more, and that is that the PCB, now, what does that stand for exactly, Don?
Polychlorinated biphenyl.
Okay, polychlorinated biphenyl. And what that is an oil-like material that's used in transformers to keep them cool.
Yep.
And the reason that they use that kind of stuff is because it's so stable. It does not break down. And that is what causes it to be such a problem in the environment, is its stability. And that's true of the polyvinyl chloride that goes into shower curtains and the vinyl siding on your house and that sort of thing. The chemical industry has come up with these things, and they bring them onto the market without testing them for safety, and they certainly do not have any plans in place to how to really get rid of these things, and so they get dumped into the environment and they stay there almost forever, and that's what's causing all this problem. And in my opinion, I think that the chemistry industry, when they come out with a new chemical, they should be required to test it for safety, and not just short-term safety. They need to test it for long-term safety, and they also need to be held accountable for how to get rid of this stuff. Okay?
Yep, huge changes that are much needed, and there's good reason for calling for at this time, because we've experienced these damages to the public health as a result of doing it in the old way.
Yep.
Don, I'd like to say
yep.
a couple of things if you got a second. I just want to make sure that people understand this is not a problem. It's a greater problem if you're located near a site that's contaminated, but actually it's a problem all around the world, no matter where you live, that these chemicals get in the food chain. It just becomes a very serious and worse problem when you're located near the source of the contamination. Also, when we talk about this problem and the way I would like to see the county go ahead and educate people, I wanted to keep it pretty simple, sort of on a common sense level. We know that POPs or persistent organic pollutants like dioxin, PCBs, DDT, other similar chemicals, they've been classified by health agencies, including the International Agency for Research on Cancer and the National Toxicology Program. They've been classified as of chemicals that are known to cause cancer or believed to cause cancer. And for me, it's a really common sense thing just not to have these chemicals enter your body. It's to keep, they manifest themselves in the food chain dissolved in animal fats. And when you eat the animal fat, they become into your body and stay in your body for some particular time. And you can cut down on your risk by eating a balanced diet containing low amounts of animal fats. So you can cut your health risk and your cancer risk by eating a low-fat diet. Some of the FDA guidelines call for a balanced diet, and of course that contains some fat, but if you reduce the amount of animal fat you intake, you're going to reduce the amount of POPs that you're taking into your body, these cancer-causing substances. So I think that's pretty simple, straightforward, common sense idea. And for starting off the education for the county, I don't envision any regulation or anything else, just some education, some simple education where we could post information maybe on the county website or, have it in conjunction with other cancer programs that the county public health is putting out there, flyers, other education. I don't think there's no regulation involved and no great expense involved. I just wanted to get that out to you, Doug.
Yeah, I'm glad you emphasized this fact that even though there are some places that have a bigger problem, that the problem is widespread enough involving this matter of the food supply that everyone is involved with, everyone is choosing to eat or not eat animal fat, that it is clearly based upon the World Health Organization's view of this, especially that report, Persistent Organic Pollutants Impact on Child Health. It is clearly a global problem, a totally, people problem, a matter of everybody on Earth, everybody in St. Lawrence County, everybody in New York, everybody in the USA, everybody around the world, having had too much exposure to these chemicals through the generations of their say grandparents at least, and then parents and then themselves, and that it is a matter of largely this exposure that takes place from the consumption of the contaminated animal fats. And then just an add-on, another big part, if you happen to be unfortunate enough to reside near to where the chemicals were used and disposed of, such as the Hudson River with the PCBs in the Hudson and the St. Lawrence River Valley with the, I can think of at least three PCB contaminated sites in along the St. Lawrence River up in the town of Messina. And there are places where this respiratory exposure is of significance, and it makes it a higher priority for getting started on doing the education. but it's certainly a clear message from the World Health Organization that every child on this planet needs to have someone helping that child understand that merely by minimizing the amount of animal fat they eat, that they can stop bringing the, you know, make a large, you know, not perfectly fully stop it, say if there's still breathing a little bit of it and still maybe some of the water and this, but they can take a large, strong step toward minimizing the quantity of these chemicals that they bring into their body, and it will cause their body burden to decline, and they will thereby lower their risk of developing the diseases that are associated with exposure to POPs, which include cancer and diabetes and heart disease and autoimmune diseases like the Crohn's disease and reproductive problems and cognitive deficit disorders and behavioral problems. There's a very long list of diseases that the World Health Organization has found to be linked with exposure to POPs. It's a very important matter of public health protection, but this knowledge that Mr. Shepherd and Mr. Sutherland and I have been discussing today, that knowledge become widespread amongst the people, so the children in particular could have the benefit of that knowledge and simply not eat as much animal fat as was done in the old days, and they would thereby reduce their body burden and their exposures, ongoing exposures, and thereby reduce their risk and not get as much of these diseases. It's very simple. Mr. Sutherland said simple. It's straightforward and simple.
Okay, is this a wrap-up then?
I think so. It has been very good. I believe that we have produced an informational piece in itself, this recording of our conference call here. I'm going to put it out on the Internet. It'll be on the Radio for All .net website. It'll be on a WordPress website. My WordPress website is Grassroots Environment Protection. The Radio for All site is Grassroots Environmental Revolution, I think I was recently calling it. So we'll put this information out in other ways, and hopefully people will hear what we've had to say, and it will just expand and magnify and grow. And the good intentions of these three guys right here talking about how to protect kids' health and protect the health of people who've had too much exposure and suffered too much cancer and diabetes and heart disease, that our good intentions will be magnified and the great change will come from this, and eventually someday everybody on Earth will know what persistent organic pollutants are and how to avoid exposure to them and why they need to do that, and health will, you know, be much benefited by this work. Thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, I want to thank you, Don, for allowing me to participate in this call this morning. I think it's important for people of St. Lawrence County. And thanks again to you and Cancer Action and Lou and everybody else involved. Thanks.
Have a great day, Scott.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Lou. We'll be talking soon as we pursue this, you know, on and on. It's good work. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Bye.
This has been a Cancer Action New York News Conference. We have been discussing the subject matter of providing information to the public on the subject of the persistent organic pollutants exposure health hazard. This is Donald Hussig with Cancer Action in New York. Viva the revolution.